This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro, and each night we're here to answer your questions.
Hi, my name is Adela.
This is Charles in Atlanta.
Mary calling in from Brooklyn.
And my question is,
how long does someone test positive for corona, even after they have recovered?
How can I safely go about seeing my family this summer?
If we do return to school in the fall, what would that look like?
Does me having antibodies mean that the COVID-19 has cleared my system completely and I'm no longer at risk to friends and family?
I want to find out how soon after exposure the virus shows up in a swab test.
What do you think?
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
NPR journalists and outside experts are on hand tonight to offer solid facts, tell you what we know, and correct some of the misinformation that's floating around. And when we don't know something, we'll tell you that too. Send us your questions about the pandemic and the way we live now at npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, use the hashtag NPRConversation. Each night we begin by answering the question, what happened today? President Trump says he wants houses of worship to open immediately. He even said he would override governors to make it happen.
The governors need to do the right thing and allow these very important essential places of faith to open right now.
It's unclear under what constitutional authority the president could force open churches in states that have closed them. The Justice Department is joining in a lawsuit against the governor of Illinois for his stay-at-home order. They argue his order oversteps state law. Dr. Anthony Fauci told NPR a coronavirus vaccine could be ready as soon as December. He also warned there could be setbacks.
The projection of the timeline, I think, is reasonable, but you always have to do that with some caution. And I would say some cautious optimism.
Dr. Deborah Birx of the White House Coronavirus Task Force urged people to keep social distancing this holiday weekend.
You can be outside. You can play golf. You can play tennis with marked balls. You can go to the beaches if you stay 6 feet apart. But remember that that is your space, and that's a space that you need to protect and ensure that you're social distance for others.
There are 1.6 million confirmed cases in the U.S. and nearly 96,000 deaths. According to the CDC, more than 13.5 million coronavirus tests have been given in the United States. You keep sending us questions about tests, and Dr. Abrar Karan is here once again to answer them. He's an internal medicine physician and clinical fellow at Harvard Medical School, and he's also helping with the epidemic response in Massachusetts. Dr. Karan, good to have you back.
Hey, Ari. Thanks for having me.
To start, let's just clarify some definitions. We hear about viral tests, antigen tests, antibody tests. Help us all understand what we are talking about when we say the U.S. has done 13.5 million coronavirus tests.
Absolutely. So I think that it's important to understand the three main types of tests and what they tell us. So the antigen test is a test that detects a viral protein and kind of tells you that someone is currently infected with coronavirus. The PCR test is a test that amplifies the viral RNA to detect the virus. And that also tells you if someone's infected. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on the show. The serological test is the test that detects antibodies against the virus that our body produces. And that tells us either that we had a recent infection or a past infection that was a longer time ago.
Okay, let's get to our listener questions, starting with Mary in Brooklyn, who wants to know about antibody test results.
If I test positive for antibodies, am I still at risk of passing on COVID-19, or does me having antibodies mean the COVID-19 has cleared my system completely and I'm no longer at risk?
Yeah, help us understand what that test result means, Dr. Karan.
So that's a great question, and there's a lot that we're still learning about immunity. So the IgM antibody is what is produced around 7 or 8 days into the infection, and that's kind of telling you in a patient that you've had a recent infection. What we know, though, is that you can still transmit virus and actually culture virus even up to about 9 or 10 days. So there may be a couple of days overlap there where you may still be able to infect other people. But then later on, you'll develop your IgG antibody, which tells you that, you know, the infection has likely been cleared and that you have had an infection in the past. What we don't know is what that means in the long term. So you may have immunity for several months, but we don't really know later on if that immunity wanes and if you can still have another infection. And we need to wait to see.
It's been another persistent question from listeners, and we just don't know. Can you clarify something else for us? The CDC said this week that it's been including antibody and viral test results in its reports of national coronavirus testing rates and positive rates. Some states have said that they've done the same thing. Does combining those two numbers, antibody and virus tests, muddy the statistics and the data that we're talking about?
It absolutely does muddy that. And, you know, like we talked about, those are two different tests that tell you different things. And so keeping those separate is actually very important.
Okay. All right. The next question here comes from Tracy in Kansas City, Missouri.
My question is, how long does someone test positive for corona, even after they have recovered?
What do we know about how long you can test positive after getting sick?
This is a great question. So in terms of the PCR test, you can have positive PCR tests for several weeks after, even up to about 6 weeks after, although that's very small proportion at that point. That doesn't mean that you're infectious or that you have live virus that can be cultured. It just means that the test is detecting some viral RNA. So we have patients in the hospital who have tested positive, have gotten better from their infection, and then weeks later, they still have a positive test.
Huh. Should I even ask what PCR test refers to, or is it too much of a mouthful?
Oh, no, that's the test that we talked about that amplifies the viral RNA.
No, I just mean the actual letters PCR.
It's polymerase chain reaction, but okay. That would be very helpful to the average listener.
All right. Karen in Pittsburgh wants to know about the process of the test itself for people with nosebleeds specifically.
I'm curious as to whether a saliva test would be the best option in this case, or if the nasal test may be performed in a way that is unlikely to trigger a serious nosebleed.
For people who aren't familiar, I saw a video of the nasal test being administered, and it looks like it goes very deep in there, Dr. Karan.
That's right, Ari. I've gotten the test myself, and you know that test is pretty uncomfortable. They do go pretty far back, and if it's not uncomfortable, then it may not have been far back enough. Some places are actually using an anterior nasal swab, so really just swabbing the front part of the nose, but not all places are doing that yet, so it kind of depends where you are.
And so for somebody who does get nosebleeds, it seems like if a saliva test is available, that might be a better choice.
So nosebleeds, that certainly is a concern if you have a really deep swab. But again, I think it depends what test they're actually using. So the anterior nasal swab is not saliva. It's just the front of your nose.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Sigrid in Oakland has this question for us.
A friend of mine will have to fly to New Orleans over Memorial Day weekend for work. Her plan is to immediately after she gets off the plane, go straight to a test site and get tested. My question is whether a test will show if she got the virus over the weekend. Say she was exposed on Sunday or Monday, will it show up in a test on Tuesday?
It's a really interesting question. How long does it take for the results of a positive test to show up after infection?
That's a great question. So we know the 1 to 3 days kind of before you hit your peak viral load, which is around the day of symptoms starting, you do have virus kind of growing in the body. And so the higher that viral load is, the better chance you'll detect it. But you really should be able to pick it up quite quickly. So even the first couple of days after exposure.
Okay, our next question comes from Charles in Atlanta, who asks about why the nasal swab tests have to be so invasive. Referring to our earlier question. Yeah, here we go.
How can it be that a good sample is so hard to collect from an infected person, and yet it's apparently so easy for an infected person to pass the virus on to another person? This seems completely contradictory. What gives?
Dr. Karan?
So no test is perfect. Obviously, there are going to be variations in how far and deep somebody actually does this swab. But he's talking about, why there's a discrepancy between that and actually transmission. We're talking about transmission. We're really talking about several minutes where thousands of droplets are being sprayed into the air. And so it's a matter of probability in terms of when you actually get infected. Whereas with a test, it's a matter of a quick swab in. So they're kind of two different processes. But I see, where that confusion may arise from.
Can you give us a snapshot of where the country is in terms of testing right now? You have been with us for many of our last 9-10 weeks on this program, and the picture has been changing a lot. Where do things stand as of today?
So the key is that we need more testing. And I think, you know, most people would agree with that. But really, most of the big research institutes talk about really at the scale of millions of tests, you know, when we're talking about the weekly level. And the key is what we're going to do with those tests and how we're going to utilize those tests to move forward from our public health strategy. So we have, you know, there's many components to that. But the bottom line here, Ari, is that we need far more testing.
We've heard at different points in the past about specific shortages that are the reason we're not able to get as many tests done as needed. Right now, is there a specific thing that we need more of? Is there one thing that you could snap your fingers and fix and go a long ways towards having the amount of tests that we need?
I think there's so many components to this, as I'm sure many people have been reading about. You know, you need the reagents, you need the laboratories, you need the personnel, the staff. It's not quite that simple. There's a lot of aspects to this in operationalizing that. So I couldn't point to one specific thing.
Before we let you go, what is the trend that you're seeing right now where you are in Massachusetts?
So, you know, I'm clinically working in the hospital right now. And so, you know, we're taking care of patients like we do every day. But obviously, as we reopen everywhere in the country, we know that cases are going to continue to rise. And our challenge is to make sure that we detect those, that we have the hospital resources to treat the patients that need to be treated. And so we'll see what happens over the next few weeks, you know, as states kind of enter this first phase of reopening.
Okay. Dr. Abrar Karan is an internal medicine physician and clinical fellow at Harvard Medical School. He's also assisting with the epidemic response in Massachusetts. Always good to have you here. Thank you.
Thanks, Ari.
Up next, more questions from our youngest listeners. What do kids want to know about the coronavirus? This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.